Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
MontGo is having this mobile unit, the first ever, they're talking about launching Pennsylvania's first ever mobile voter services office over the weekend during a local festival, a big van that they're going across MontGo. Recently, saw a familiar face, Congressman Dan Muser, joining me this morning. And thank you so much for being here. We were actually at the same event, kind of said hi at that huge event in Montgomery County less than 2 weeks ago, where Michael Whatley was one of the keynotes and you as well. So thanks for being here this morning.
Dawn, very nice to be with you. Thanks.
Absolutely. So first of all, Montgomery County, I started with that because that's where Joe Biden will be this evening as he is focusing in on this traditionally blue area. Will it be as blue? Well, he's there campaigning with Casey, but of course, former President Trump will be here in Pennsylvania, I think two locations, right? And excited right. about campaigning back to Pennsylvania after Butler.
Yeah. He's going to be, President Trump's going to be in Scranton tomorrow as well as Reading. I'm trying to make both, but I think I'm going to be speaking in Reading, and they'll take care of business in Scranton. You know, a lot of the message is going to be just about the incredible choice to be made now until November 5th. November 5th is no longer Election Day. It's the last day of the election period.
Yeah.
So we need to get those mail-ins, the early voting done. I mean, we just got to make sure we vote. I mean, voter turnout is everything. You were at that Montgomery event, and certainly Michael Whatley, the RNC chair, spoke about that at length. Out in Butler on Saturday, Elon Musk, pretty smart guy, spoke heavily. In fact, he just kept repeating that register, vote, make sure you get there. That's what all of this is about. Because there's everything, it's just so crucial at this point, right? I mean, you know, Kamala's record on the border, on the economy, on spending. They want to spend an additional $2 trillion on top of the deficits they've already run up. The energy policy is gas backwards. I mean, you know, trade deficits. Every time you put on the news on anything where there's numbers, I mean, it's just a disaster. And, you know, and the American people also have to keep in mind there's a lot more to it if we have Kamala in the White House, and then if we don't keep the Senate, and God forbid we lose the House, I mean, the filibuster is in jeopardy. I mean, you know, that's something that holds. You lose that, they'll make D.C. a state. They'll pack the courts. You know, our republic is in many ways on the ballot. And if we want to hand it to these folks, I mean, you know, their dream is for the party, for the federal government and the media, the Democrat Party, that is, and the federal government, and the media, to all be as one. And, you know, that spells disaster.
It's so true. You know, I know that you were there in Butler over the weekend. What an incredible, it looked like, I don't know, it looked like 100,000 people. I don't know what the crowd size was, but it was. There was so much heart. Can you just give your personal take, Congressman Muser, on what you experienced in Butler?
Sure, Dawn. You know, it makes me smile just thinking about it because it really was such a great day. I mean, the weather was beautiful, and President Trump, I was in the middle of doing a media hit on Newsmax, and Trump won, came flying through. He did a couple of flybys. It was great. We had parachuters coming down. It was so patriotic, you know, and it was so happy, yet at the same time, so solemn, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we were there. A crazy person tried to kill the President Trump. Corey Compitore lost his life while being a hero, while protecting his daughter, while protecting his wife. And myself and Dave McCormick had the opportunity to sit right with them, sit right next to them during the course of the event. And just great people. I mean, just so sad, though, and appreciative, yet sad. And, you know, President Trump, wow, did he handle it well? Just charm and grace and appreciation. And then he had a Macchio opera singer come out and Ave Maria. I mean, it was right. It was just, and, you know, and he was just making a tribute to him. We felt it was a tribute to Corey, but also a tribute to the fact that President Trump survived getting shot in the head or the ear. And so it was a comeback, right? That's what America is. We get knocked down. The president went down. He said he was going to come back. That was, he felt it was his obligation. He said on July 13th, I'll be back. And he sure as heck was. And, you know, many people thought it was a bad idea. I was probably one of them, for his safety purposes, to do it. But he did. And boy, it turned out to be a great idea. It was really something.
Yeah, it was. I was looking at your site earlier today and last night. The first thing that struck me says, how can we serve you? Because we were just playing one of the FEMA directors who said, what I want people to do, you know, is just a little different philosophy, kind of shows your philosophy. But I noticed, you know, one of the things, and final question here, is you focus in a lot on your legislation, thinking about Pennsylvania. And we suffered during the pandemic, as you well know, and just a lot of, I mean, here in Philadelphia, where I'm broadcasting from, but across Pennsylvania, small businesses, I think about so many people who retired, even doctors, but small businesses, this is something that you have an outlook for small businesses. If we could just get a moment where you would talk about your philosophy on this, how through proper policy, even at your level, congressional level, the executive branch, how we rebuild America.
Well, you know what? I mean, President Trump, like he did in his term, is going to be a rising tide that lifts all boats that aren't weighted down anyway. Even the Democrats now are sunsetting his taxes. Of course, they opened up his secure borders. The assault on American energy has caused a big factor in causing inflation. So they reversed what President Trump was doing to grow our economy, pro-growth initiatives, which, of course, kept inflation down or non-existent virtually, and low interest rates. So we have to get back to that. Those are largely the fundamentals. We cannot allow the Trump tax cuts for small businesses to sunset. It'll be a disaster. It's way over a 20% increase that they'll be facing, and there'll be cutbacks. It'll hurt manufacturing. These people, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and the minions around them, they talk about making products in the United States. Meanwhile, they talk about putting more costs and regulations on American businesses. And God forbid we allow any reciprocal tariffs on overseas products. I mean, they're just wrong. Everything they do backfires and is wrong and will hurt. And there's no way we can afford it for the next 4 years. So, you know, my philosophy is we got to follow those fundamentals. We've got to allow businesses to be highly competitive, highly competitive. We need great trade agreements that President Trump also installed, and he actually put me on his trade work group at the time, so we can sell all our great products and services and everything else around the world. But then, you know, something going, then it's going to be a competition of states. And if Pennsylvania doesn't rise to the occasion and start getting serious about winning and serious about pro-growth initiatives, Arizona, Tennessee, Georgia, Carolinas, Florida, of course, Texas, Utah, Indiana are going to leave us behind. We're going to continue to lose population. And I'll tell you right now, you know, Josh Shapiro has embraced. He showed us his true colors. I mean, he's embraced all of Kamala Harris's wonderful ideas. For, you know, taxing the so-called rich and everything else. And that's his vision for Pennsylvania. There's no way we can be the next Florida, the next Texas, when we have lack of vision, lack of planning, and lack of pro-growth initiatives. It's a two-step. We got to win this November 5th, let the president hit the macros, and then we got to get serious here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Congressman Dan Muser, thank you so much for taking the time out. I know you're busy with, you know, dealing with obviously the budget crunch and all of that. I love that you're on among the committees, the Problem Solvers Caucus. We need more of that.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I think we all should be on it, but I'm definitely staying on it. So, hey, Dawn, thanks. You do such a great job. Really appreciate you.
Thank you, Congressman Muser. And you can obviously follow him on social media. There's so much happening right now. You know, Dan, I loved that Congressman Muser, when he talked about, you know, what a great feeling it was and how inspiring it was to be there in Butler. That was an incredible moment as we think about it. All right. Well, did you hear me, Dan?
It really was. And I wish I could have seen it because it sounds like it was just such an absolutely amazing event with the Lee Greenwood and then the Star Spangled Banner all being sung in harmony.
And Lee Greenwood, I will say that I didn't know initially that he was on stage because you're looking over at Trump and then you realize he's there in person in Butler. And I, you know, that stuff, how
you're
many
times? Used to hearing it, right? You're like, okay, yeah, here is another Lee Greenwood. Oh, it's actually Lee's here. Oh, wow.
But there were, that one got me, that I got a little clumped. Discuss amongst yourselves. And then obviously Ave Maria, which is, you know, that was just beautiful.
Freedom,
yeah.
And they can't take that away.
He gets a little emotional, Lee Greenwood. Yeah.
I don't know if you can make it through the song anymore without getting emotional, it seems like.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, to have somebody... I mean, and he's just... It was just so great, the whole rally. But I'm glad to see... Did you notice all the Secret Service? You know what I mean? Thank
yeah, you
God.
See him following him like that?
Okay. And that should be for every former president and any current president. Nobody wants... I think that's something we can all agree
yeah,
on.
Yeah, count six of them, and they're following yeah. him on the ground as he walks on stage.
But no doubt... that you've got guys in a hat. You know what I mean? There are the guys that might not be in the men in black gear with the black sunglasses. And then there's always the woman right behind you. You ever notice this?
Yeah.
There's always that person who doesn't realize that they're right on camera. Do you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, because they're like doing something, they're fixing their hair. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you see one of their girls. This happened, I think, in this rally in particular. And you see her girlfriend, all of a sudden you see her lean over and her girlfriend or somebody near her tells her, you know that on TV, you're right behind the president's head and people on social media are commenting like, you need, you know, and then they're like, oh my gosh.
Looking at the video right now, she looks at her phone and it looks yeah. like she's finding that out as we speak.
Yeah. So she's like, oh, I'm on. Oh. But it was a great, I loved it. It was a great moment. Elon Musk, he was, you feel, don't you feel like you know all these people, that you know them, every one of them, because you follow them?
Yeah.
And I'm that person this morning, Nikhail was saying, and who was it? Who was saying this, that there are some people who all they think about is Trump? Was it Nick? I forget now. One of us said it. Maybe it was Sean Farish, who was filling in for Greg Stocker, who's, I don't know what Greg's, hopefully Greg's not job hunting. But anyway, I know, I always worry. I'm like, don't leave me.
He was up in New York. He took a train to go.
What was he doing?
He was launching the Fairless stuff.
That's all right.
Yeah.
All right. I might as well.
He went up there. Rich did a broadcast from New York yesterday, and you can hear Greg laughing in the background.
But I'm one of those people. Like, we're college hunting with David, my youngest son, in high school. We were on Temple's campus mm-hmm. on Sunday.
Oh,
and they've got the band. Well,
I got to pause here. You're considering sending him to Temple?
Okay, Lou Klein.
Okay.
The communication school is named
Fantastic.
After Lou Klein.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a mentor of mine.
Gotcha.
I love Lou Klein.
Gotcha.
I would be remiss if I didn't take my kids, all due diligence. By the way, the Lou Klein Communications and Media School, fantastic.
Really good.
Right? Those students, they go to the actual Emmys, you know, not just a student Emmy,
mm-hmm.
and they win Emmys. They're
yeah.
very good.
My dad was a journalism professor there, actually.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And he was an editor for the Inquirer at one point. They got really good professors in that department teaching these kids. And a lot of the radio station produces a lot of talent, too. Mm-hmm. It's a really good media program at Temple. I got to give them that.
So, you know, it's only appropriate that our youngest, none of the other kids ever had any interest in broadcasting or journalism. The youngest one has an interest. So we took him to Temple. But they have the band. And guess what they do? I have it on video.
Like what specific broadcast?
Investigative
genre?
Journalism.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Taken after her parents, huh?
Right?
Yeah.
But not so much commentating. I just think that he hears us all the time talking about the need for people who dig for the truth and getting to that nitty gritty, even though sometimes it's annoying. But
yep.
So I think that's his interest area. But while we're walking and the band, you know, were fantastic and they're playing their fight song. How do they end? Fight, fight, fight. So I was recording on it, and I go, Larry, I think they're for Trump. There are these big red tees. Fight, fight, fight. He's like, will you stop?
Well, it is, Larry. Come on.
But come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's subliminal. He's everywhere. Are you one of those people?
You can actually hear it. Here, listen. Take a look. Ready?
Now listen to the end.
Oh.
See? See?
Fight, fight, fight for the cherry and the white.
See? But fight, fight, fight. And they were just, see? With the big red T. I'm just saying. It's a white T, but it's got the red in the back. they were just shaking their heads.
What percentage of students on Temple's campus appreciate Trump?
Probably more than we think.
You think so?
Then we stopped at DeLisandro's, and I forgot how good their cheesesteaks are.
Yeah.
They're huge. They give so much beef. It's like too much.
The beef.
And, you know, there was a line in the whole thing.
Yeah.
And there you have your Trump supporters. There were people with these MAGA hats that were like brand new, beautiful MAGA hats. It was awesome. Yep.
Well, thankfully you didn't go to that one cheesesteak place where McCormick's banned now.
I know. Why do they do that? And then they claim, oh, no, we didn't ban anybody. It's a sin. 855-839-1210. What did you buy? What are you buying for Amazon Prime Day? Are you into that?
Did not have my keyboard.
They don't have it. I'm sure they do.
No, they don't have it on sale. They don't have it. Look at the Yamaha P45, the Roland 10X. Neither are on sale today, Don.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
Make How Amazon great again. 855-839-1210. Hey, we have so much sound that Dan has been pulling, so you got to hear all of this. And why does one famous documentarian who has been right about past elections predicted Trump would win in 2016? What is he saying about this year? And I don't like what he's saying. I hope he's totally wrong, but I want you to hear it. I want to talk about it and much more just ahead.
Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
There is Kamala Harris, the Vice President of the United States of America. She can't think of one thing that she would have done differently if she were the president. But see, she is the Vice President. This is her administration. Technically, she's got to own it. So she's on The View. Is this live? Is this a live show right now?
Apparently it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't say live, though, as you noted one time in the past.
I know.
It says,
always am a little suspicious.
Yeah, a little suspicious, yeah.
Whether it's actually live. Because there's a thing called live to tape. And so you can sometimes start to tell. But usually if it's live, it's actually live and not live to tape. So I just wonder if they did it, I don't know, an hour ago, or they're doing it on a delay, that sort of thing. I'll tell you this, what strikes me, a couple of things. First of all, when she's on television sitting in a group with these women who are not, none of them are like tall or big women. So what you realize is she is very petite. So I think she claimed that she's 5'4"-ish, but she's not. Because I've met some of the, like Katie Couric, she did a thing with her, and Katie towered over her. So when you look at them, this is a very petite woman. They want to hide that. They're putting her in the sort of 1980s, you know, when the big shoulder pads and tailored look. And I do wonder, as far as fashion, they're trying to make her look bigger and commander-in-chiefy, if you will. And that's by design, and that's something that campaigns do. And so I just wanted to visually note that for you. I'm not making fun of it. I would probably suggest the same thing. But that strikes me. And a lot of sucking up and gushing. I predicted the other day that if anybody asks the good question or the gotcha question, it's going to be Whoopi, because she seems to be sometimes the only authentic person who asks a real question and isn't worried about gushing. So if it's anybody, I think it would be Whoopi Goldberg. But we'll see. Dan's monitoring it.
I do have some audio if you want to, want to take some audio.
Yeah.
So here we have Whoopi actually asking about the call she received from Biden saying that he was stepping aside, and Kamala's excuse for why this funkiness happened. Take a listen.
You get this phone call, and you, I guess you can tell who's calling. And what does he say?
So I'll set the scene for you.
Okay.
So it's a Sunday, and our family, my niece, her husband, and their two daughters were staying with us. And I had promised them that Sunday, Auntie was going to make pancakes and bacon, and we were going to have a really... Mm-hmm. And, you know, the kids wake up, the girls, they're 6 and 8, they were at the time, they wake up early. We always wake up the first.
Right.
So they come knocking on the door, and then we have our quiet time in the morning, just me and the girls.
Right.
And so I went to work out, and I had on cooking shows, and they were asking me, Auntie, what's that ingredient? What's that ingredient? And they're playing while I'm working out. Make breakfast. We sit down. We're having breakfast. And we'd been working on a puzzle. So they wanted more bacon, got more bacon. Then, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
And so then we had a puzzle, so we went back up to work on the puzzle. I'm still in my workout clothes.
Right.
And we're working on the puzzle, and the phone rings.
Right.
So I said, Auntie, you'll be right back. And it was the president. And he told me his decision. And I'll tell you, the first thing I asked him is, are you sure? Because what a big decision.
Yeah.
And historic.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked for a while. Meanwhile, I went back into the room where the girls were, and I'm like, go get your father. Because I knew he'd be up somewhere. And so we laughed afterwards. Nick is their father. We laughed that Amara, the elder one, right, was kind of like Paul Revere, and Leela, the younger one, was Paul Revere's horse.
So what strikes me is this, and the reason it's important that Dan played the first part of that, when I'm hearing this for the first time, is you know how you get a baseline in anything, whether it's concussion protocol, whatever testing you're going through, you want the baseline. So she's talking about nothing, right? She's talking about nothing. She's going on and on and on and on about bacon and pancakes and kids. And she was asked a serious question about a moment in history. And on and on and on. And there's a certain cadence and a certain way she looks when she's speaking. Then, and that's the truth. So that's your baseline for the truth. That's how she speaks when she's telling the truth. Okay, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. But you know what? I have studied people my entire life, and as a professional journalist and reporter, and you know what I'm saying? Like, I study people. And so that's her baseline for when she's telling the truth. Look at how she looks. Listen to how she sounds, her cadence, her way of speaking. It's a little faster. So then when the lie comes, the looking down, averting her eyes, and the speech is way slower. There's a notable difference in the second part of what she's saying, because she's talking initially about nothing stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? That's the baseline. Where she's not quite telling the truth, or there's something to me that's not fully true in that, whether it's, I don't know, the way it happened, or is it that they knew this was coming and there was a plan, which is what I suspect, as I suspected long even before the debate, because I was suspicious, not that I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I did suspect that they were doing a debate in June, which has never been done before, in a presidential debate for a major election in our nation's history. And I was like, something's up with that.
You know what it reminds me of? And it's the same thing as the middle class answer that she gives. And then she gives a speech from the one book or poem that she always does. It's, you know when David or one of your sons is bringing home note cards to memorize at night, and then right before you finally put them down, you say, without the note cards, I want to hear it, and they read it back to you?
Yes.
It's almost like she's reading directly off of a note card out of memory when she does all these things. It's clearly scripted for her, and it's so inauthentic, and it's one of those things that a scriptwriter puts together to try to drive authenticity. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for her.
And also, when you ask somebody, I mean, not for nothing, but if I go on and on about what, like I did earlier with the CBO and I'm trying to give, you know, some tangible numbers to something to explain a point, right? But she's talking about bacon and then a little more bacon and the pancakes and da 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 da. To me, that's just a serious person who's in the midst of a tough battle running for president of the United States of America. It was just kind of a bizarre long story, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I think that part was the true part of the story, that they were having pancakes and they liked the pancakes and the bacon. You know, why is she going? Because you may ask yourself, well, why is she going on The View? Men do not watch this show. If you're a man who genuinely watches the show, I want to hear from you, 855-839-1210. Men do not watch this program, okay? I promise you that. The bulk of the viewers, women. Unless you're stranded in, like, an off, like, does your chiropractor
my chiropractor definitely doesn't.
She does not.
She's not the kind of person
who
keeps on The View. Or maybe she does, just out of hate watching. But no, I really think at least 50% of their viewership is just empty doctor's offices that they have the screen on, tuned into ABC, and it's just left on all day.
Yeah, so women. And then why did she go on with that? And that was a pretty crude podcast but very honest, that it's Call Her Daddy, that they say is the number one podcast for women, because like Joe Rogan, his doesn't count because although Joe Rogan has more female listeners, I believe, if you think about it, he has more of a co-ed audience, men and women. But in truth, he has so many millions more that I would love to see the real numbers for this, honestly. But why is she going on these shows like Call Her Daddy, The View, all these different audiences that are women? And that brings me to the final. Do you want to go to a break, or do you want to?
Yeah, we got to hit a break.
We got to hit a break. Around the corner, I'll tell you why I wanted to tee that up for a certain person who says this is why she's going on all these shows. What is Kamala Harris? What is she banking on? That just ahead right here on The Dawn Show as we continue. But first, are you ready for an escape? Speaking of your favorite chiropractor, who's a friend of mine, and I hope she goes. Let's escape together to paradise. Once again, the Italian Riviera. This is a gastronomical event. And if you know Conservative Tours, you know that Conservative Tours is the only one who can deliver. Join me for 11 luxurious days with the professionals from Conservative Tours. They are the best tour operator in Italy, hands down. A-plus rating with the BBB, Better Business Bureau. Look it up. Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita, Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre. $5,378. This is amazing. $5,378 includes your airfare, dining events at the wineries in Tuscany, and yes, even an authentic farm visit to see Parmesan cheese being crafted by hand. Toll-free call. Call now, because these, remember last year? It sold out, and some of you were texting me, Dawn, are there any spots left? 888-733-9494. Man, we made so many memories together and had so much fun together. You got to do this. 888-733-9494. Just go to conservativetours.com if you want to see more, because there are pictures and it takes you through all the locations where we're visiting, including hidden Italian villages you've never seen, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, Leaning Tower of Pisa. Florence is gorgeous. Michelangelo's, remember, was from Florence. It's so beautiful. Milan. And then we will conclude on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella. Isola Bella. I looked all these pronunciations up to make sure. So I was looking at all these beautiful Italian villages. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. I can't wait. You got to join me next spring in Italy. I'll see you in Cinque Terre. Your vice president, who could possibly be the next president of the United States of America. So this person interviewing for a job, what does she have to say about the border policy that we've already established, according to bipartisan supported committees that are watchdog groups? At least $16 billion, that's what you've paid to illegal folks who've come here illegally, are here in this country. $16 billion on just Medicare and those kind of services. But what are you playing first, Dan? Are you going to...
60 Minutes last night, her comments on immigration, what she's pressed on, why she hasn't done anything where she's sitting in office. Take a listen.
I've been covering the border for years. And so I know this is not a problem that started with your administration.
Correct. Correct.
But there was an historic flood of undocumented immigrants coming across the border the first 3 years of your administration. As a matter of fact, arrivals quadrupled from the last year of President Trump. Was it a mistake to loosen the immigration policies as much as you did?
It's a long-standing problem.
Hard cut.
Which she already acknowledged.
And solutions are at hand. And from day one, literally, we have been offering solutions.
So what I was asking was it a mistake to kind of allow that flood to happen in the first place?
I think the policies that we have been proposing are about fixing a problem, not promoting a problem. Okay,
but the numbers did quadruple.
And the numbers today, because of what we have done, we have cut the flow of illegal immigration by half. We
have
cut the flow of fentanyl by half. But we need Congress to be able to act to actually fix the problem.
So, you know, good kudos to CBS and 60 Minutes. Jimmy Fallon, by the way, before you go to your next clip from The View, similar. Jimmy Fallon, who's here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, said the worst part of the 60 Minutes interview was when she asked, how long is this program? I laughed out loud. Thank you, Jimmy Fallon, for the laugh. As always, did great in his debut, by the way. But Dan has been monitoring this View interview, if you will, conversation.
Yeah, so she was asked a similar question about the immigration after that horrible answer last night on 60 Minutes. Let's see if she can do any better today on The View. Take a listen.
Madam Vice President, when you were here last, I asked about the border, which remains a top issue to voters. Yeah. And as you rightly pointed out, the former president blocked the strongest border security bill in decades.
As you rightly pointed out.
But there remains this perception among voters that the Biden administration dragged its feet and waited too long to act to address the border crisis. Can you speak to why voters may feel that way?
Sure. Well, first of all, to your point, when we first came in office, hours after we were inaugurated, the first bill we offered before infrastructure, before bringing down the cost of prescription medications, it was to fix our broken immigration system. And it never got taken up, in large part for political reasons, because solutions are at hand, and we need to fix the problem. Then, to your point, a bipartisan group of members of the United States Congress, including some of the most conservative members, worked together with our support to craft the most serious and strong border security bill we've seen in years.
Yes.
Donald Trump got word of it and told them don't put the bill up for a vote because he didn't want a solution because he preferred to run on a problem instead of fixing a problem. So then we had to do, in addition to what we've done since day one in trying to strengthen the border, we took further action in terms of executive action. We have seen illegal immigration reduced by half, the intake of fentanyl reduced by half.
Okay, but can I just interrupt real quick here? So when did they take, Dan, just forgive me because she's being asked about she first claims that from day one they were providing solutions. So just, Dan, maybe I'm wrong about this. When did she take office as Vice President of the United States of America? She and Joe Biden. What year was that?
I want to say it was about while ago now, Dawn.
It was, how long have they been in power? It was like 3 years and like 9 months
change,
ago?
Yeah.
Something like that,
yeah,
right?
Nothing,
3 years, 9 months. So,
no executive orders, no.
So when was that bipartisan border bill? When did it fail the procedural vote in the U.S. Senate? Close to June of this year. It was late May. Okay. failed to advance due to a procedural vote, and that was basically, you know, almost June 1st, then she had been in office... three and a half years. So after 3.5 years, what happened after 3.5 years? What happened after 3 years was that, I guess, you know, how many millions of people came in? So even by my, I know, thank you for the jeopardy. Thank you. Let me think. So that's really what, you know, Bill Whitaker of CBS News, that's what they're all asking her. And then she plays this word salad game and says, well, Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. And by the way, there are even Republicans and Democrats who say that the bill was flawed and that it had problems. As a matter of fact, I was looking at the headlines of not, you know, any publications that are considered to be, you know, right wing, that they were saying it was a failed bill, that there were other flaws in it and that it had a lot of problems. And that they were trying to push it through, which makes me think, it makes me think, you know what they did? They knew that this was a huge issue because you know what they do? Internal polling. So they realized, oh, crud, we made a big mistake. Maybe we should have stopped at like, I don't know, maybe we should have stopped it at like 9 million, you know, where they can only say 9 million because there are some estimates even they admit to that are like 11, 12 million people that came in. Because remember, they were flying people in from airplanes and over the border, and there are all these little games that they're playing. But even they admit to at least, I think, 11 or 12 million people are here illegally. And then there are other estimates that say, no, it could be as much as 20 million if you look at during the entire 4 year, you know, 3 years and 9 months, whatever you want to say. So what did they do? Well, they created a bill that they say, this is the border security bill. And it's got bipartisan because we had a few Republicans who sign on to it. And then we can go, aha, see, see, they don't want this. Really? When is it going to pass? When would it have passed? June? July at the earliest that it would have ever passed if it was going to pass. So see, they propose the thing so that it can fail, so that at least they have some cover. So they create the cover and the camouflage, and she's camouflage Kamala. So this gives her a little camouflage so she can hide beneath that. But the truth is, she was already in office 3.5 years. The truth is, she could have done something since day one. The truth is, she did not. Failure of leadership. Boom. That's it. That's all I got.
Great point.
So it's annoying. Stop playing with me. She and this administration, they're playing with us. Don't get played.
Chuck Schumer is trying to pull a political stunt and pass a bill that does nothing to secure the border, which is what the American people are wanting to see. We know that the Border Patrol has said repeatedly, put a physical barrier in place, give us better technology, more officers, more agents. That is the way to secure the border. That is what you find in H.R. 2, which has languished in the Senate for over a year. Let's take it up, let's secure the border, and to the Biden administration, when we pass a law, why don't you abide by the law?
So good, Dan Borowski's the best. So I'd mentioned that Marsha Blackburn, I know she'd spoken out about it. Sure enough, he found that. But that clip was, what's it dated? May 24th, late May, right?
That she's, 23rd.
May 23rd that she said that. And so you think about that as they were talking about it, and that was in the Senate. Even if they had passed it, and then it would have to go to the House, and they all said, you know what, not for nothing, let's just pass something bipartisan. And then they wanted, by the way, to put in at some point some voter ID, right, as a provision too. Nobody wanted that. But here's an ironic part of this. One of the people who opposed this thing, guess who it was? At the time, New Jersey Democrat Senator Bob Menendez. He said in a statement that major chunks of this very piece of legislation that Kamala Harris is talking about read like an enforcement wish list from the Trump administration and directly clash with the most basic tenets of our asylum system. So Menendez, as well as other Hispanic Americans, were against this piece of legislation. It wasn't just Republicans who didn't like pieces of it, or who at least wanted to put in there that to vote you had to have ID and show your citizenship. So I'm just saying it's such a lie, and it's disingenuous for the vice president to say what she's saying yesterday and today. And when you know that information, right, it's like when you see something, you cannot unsee it, or being burdened and unburdened, whatever her saying is, it makes you realize how biased the media is. So either they're incompetent and they don't know all of this, which I think is not true. I think they know, they just don't ask that important follow-up. And that's the key here. So you say to yourself, well, Dawn, come on. I mean, look at everything you're talking about, the economy. You got the Middle East. You got rockets being fired in the Middle East. This White House right now saying they've lost confidence, basically, in Benjamin Netanyahu, not supporting a critical ally in the Middle East. We got the southern states underwater, people dying and the death count rising. I mean, the economy is a mess. I mean, come on. I mean, this is not even close.
I have Kamala throwing blame at Trump for her hurricane response.
Kamala, and I'm calling you Kamala because for all of those who are mispronouncing it, I want you all to know how to say it.
There you go.
But let's talk about something you would do different from Donald Trump. Right now, there is a monster storm barreling towards my state of Florida, a place that's still reeling from Hurricane Helene. Mm. Trump is lying, claiming that the Biden administration is intentionally withholding aid from the areas where Republicans live and that FEMA funds are being redirected to migrants. Ironically, that is something he did in 2019. What do you think the effect of these lies are, and why is he doing this?
It's profound, and it is the height of irresponsibility and, frankly, callousness.
Yeah.
So lives are literally at stake right now. I traveled to
Georgia. Why are you not sitting your butt on the show?
Hurricane Helene. In Georgia.
What are you doing now? She's the Vice President of the United States of America. She's sitting in a, you know, she was in the green room in hair and makeup, and she's on The View. And then while she, the moment when she was shooting that For Your Daddy, whatever, nasty podcast that's all salacious and dirty and talking about man parts and who needs to be waxed, while that was going on in that podcast recording, people were being swept. Literally, their lives, I mean, just being swept away, and their homes being swept away in places like North Carolina. So this is just irresponsible, and she just, this is why I can't talk about her, because she just, ugh, it's just so annoying. And you know what's really annoying is, I know we got to go to Dom Giordano, and I'm so glad we're live and local so we can continue the conversation with you, but just so annoying. And then for Michael Moore to say the fact that he predicts a landslide because women are going to...
I don't have that. Sorry, Dom.
That's okay. Maybe yeah. Maybe you'll play it later. But, I mean, the bottom line is, Dom, as a woman, I'm just horrified by the fact that some of these experts who've called the last elections have said, but we can count on women. They're going to vote for Kamala. And I'm like, really? It's... Oh, my goodness. My head wants to explode. You know what I mean? Well, can I be a man? I'm going to identify as a man or something.
Well, Don.
I'm not allowed to vote for Trump, yeah, Don. Come on.
Yeah, Joe Biden creaked out of wherever he was and said, you and I are un-American. So what we have to do, this is on the hurricane stuff. The only thing we have to do is be disciplined. Don't make any wild comments. Document it. Hammer it. Shove it down their throat. They are beyond an embarrassment. Yes. They are... evil on this, that people are suffering and they're continuing to just attack and say that's un-American, to bring it to everybody's attention.
Beautifully said. Dom, what have you got coming up?
Oh, we have today, we have the guy we love, Lieutenant Governor under Arnold Schwarzenegger, Latino, about the Trump visit to Reading, and Stern interview. We'll be playing that when it starts at 1 o'clock today with Kamala Harris.
So much happening. The Dom Giordano Show is right now.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.